Office hours are now open. Welcome to the show where we answer everyday questions about life and work in Luxembourg by talking to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts. Send me your feedback to adam.petersen@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to the show. Regular listeners will spot a thread running through Office Hours episodes. In Series 1, we met recruitment consultants Darren and Amandine. By Series 3, they'd set me up with Guy and Angel, who shared the secrets of interviewing. Now that we've got the job, today's guests are going to guide me through the process of relocating to Luxembourg. So welcome to the studio. I have Stéphane Compan, CEO and co-founder of Lux Relo, and Mathilde Fernandez, partner at Relo K.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, tell me about how your company started off. So actually, who's got the oldest company here?
Stéphane. I have the oldest one. I've been, last week, it's been 9 years that we are in business, and I've been 25 years in Luxembourg.
25 years in Luxembourg, so 9 years as Lux Relo.
Yes. And
before that, what were you doing?
I was a country manager of two different companies. Arrived for a moving company in Luxembourg, and then I ran for 13 years the branch of a big international group based in London.
And that international group was also involved in
moving and relocation. Yes.
So you've done. I know that you started off in the army in the Alpine Services. Wow. That's going to be another episode that I'm not going to get into. So you've been ever since you left the army and so on in relocation.
When I left the army, I went to Paris because my girlfriend at that time, who became my wife, was living there, and I was looking for a job. My first job I found and the first interview I had was for a removal company, and I got into the global mobility that way and never left.
Okay, and then why did you decide to leave working for someone else and work for yourself?
I was a bit pushed.
Oh, really?
I lost my job, worked with a transition coach, looked for opportunities, sent CVs, and had difficulties to find anything. One day I bumped into someone who said, oh, I'm looking to invest money. Are you interested of setting up your own relocation company? This is it. I need to create my own job. And it's how it started, because I always thought I would never be an entrepreneur, that it was not for me. And then I came back home, told my wife, you know what, you have experience in the operation, because she was a freelance consultant. And I said, okay, we put our strengths together and we put all our eggs in the same basket and we go for it.
So go big or go home.
Exactly. And at that time we had two of our children at the university. We had a mortgage. So it was like, gambling.
Yeah. Wow. So Mathilde, your story, big gamble involved in that as well, or slightly different?
Slightly different. Not a big mortgage. Also two kids, but not yet at university. So,
so how long's Relo K been going?
So Relo K only has a few months. So we're really, really babies. We're toddlers learning to walk. But I've been working as a relocation consultant for 8 years.
And then what brought you to Luxembourg? I think you've been
I was
Portugal.
Born here.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm an anomaly. I was born and raised here, but I went to the European school. Yep. So microcosm. So it's actually really you can live in Luxembourg being a part, let's say. And I was in real estate and I went into relocation because during an inspection, I met an amazing person and she told me, why don't you join? Because you have the right character for it.
You've been going a few short months. So how many people?
Relo K, yes.
How many people are involved in that?
We're five.
Five.
Yes.
And that's kind of cooperative? Who's the boss? How does that work?
We are all the boss. We have no investor and we are really just us. And I knew from my previous experience that to run a company, you need to be several people. Yep. Because you have the accordion effect. When you're working, you're not looking for clients and vice versa. And you need to keep the flow steady. And especially with the real estate market as it is today, looking for a house, just a house, which is, let's say, the most visible part of our job, is full-time job. It's almost 24 hours a day.
And the other four people involved? So how did you get together?
It was like, some of them were also consultants, other were friends of friends. So we were initially much bigger because the idea was precisely to make a cooperative. But then the other ones dropped out because it was too much of struggle.
So that consultant, is that you're working freelance for a big corporation, providing services on the ground. So is that the similar role that Sandrine was doing then when you, so she was doing the same
thing? She was basically independent and she was working for companies in France, Belgium that didn't have any office in Luxembourg. Mm. She used to be also a consultant, freelance consultant for my previous company. So she was getting jobs from mostly from people that didn't have any footprint in Luxembourg.
Yeah. So you moved to Paris to be with her, and then what brought both of you to Luxembourg then?
Well, I was in Strasbourg at that time, and I set up an office for the company I was working for in Strasbourg. After 1.5 years, I got a bit bored by what I had to do, and so I called my boss in Paris, and I asked him, do you have anything else? And he said, oh, that's interesting, because I need someone to be with me in Paris to be able to run the whole of France. So I went for an interview on, I mean, a discussion on a Friday, and when I arrived, there were two guys from the head office in London, and we're like, come on, that's just a discussion. And what they said, oh, the guy in Luxembourg resigned. Do you want a job? We need the answer by Monday.
Wow. Did you answer straight away or did you take the weekend?
No, I drove back to Strasbourg from Paris, called my wife, said, you know, find somebody to take care of the kids. On Sunday, we'll go visit Luxembourg.
And you've never been?
Never been. And so we drove around and said, oh, okay, you know, why not? And like a lot of people, we thought that we would be here for 2-3 years assignment. And 25 years later.
So you came here, Sandrine was the first employee when you set up this company, or you set it up together, the two of you. And how big is the company now and who's involved?
So we set up the company in 2016, the two of us. Slowly we developed it. I did a lot of networking event, used social media, and knocked on the doors, doing cold callings and meeting with clients. And slowly, you know, we started to have our name known on the market, and we started to grow. Then we had the COVID hit us. Yes. And when you have COVID and you are a company that depends on people traveling and moving, and everybody saying you're not allowed to travel, that was a big hit, a big stress. Luckily, we were in Luxembourg, where work permits were still being processed. We were still allowed to do virtual visits, so a consultant could Sandrine would go and visit, you know, using WhatsApp and preparing people when they would be ready to relocate to Luxembourg.
Yeah, so I joined Amazon around that time, so we had people moving there. One thing I'm really interested in is about how do you, as smaller independent companies, win the contracts with the big international companies that are here? Is that a challenge? I remember when I was back in the corporation, and if you had a tender, straight away the company with the biggest footprint suddenly jumps up the charts, as
so
it were.
We have, it's not specific in our industry, but in our industry you have big international players that are mostly based in the US and the UK. They don't have a huge footprint. They have mainly offices in hubs, depending on the time zone, and they go for the big contracts, worldwide contracts. You're talking about Amazon. Amazon, it's a worldwide contract with a US-based relocation company. We call it RMC, Relocation Management Company.
Okay.
They win those big tenders, and then they subcontract to a local company like ours. I've been long in this industry. The problem is that the lower you are in the food chain, the less respected you are and the less profit you get. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've been aiming at going to for our own clients, so direct clients in Luxembourg.
At the moment you have
a mix.
Both.
Yeah, we have a mix of, I would say that 90% of our business is coming from corporate, 10% for private. And we have a mix of big international groups. We have startups in you know, the tech sector and the financial sector, and then it's from small size to we even have one client where we don't even do any for the moment inbound relocation to Luxembourg. We are doing only cross-border or outbound, so We've done Chicago, Vilnius. We've done Luxembourg to Philippines. And we are working with our network of partners to assist them.
One reason I was keen on doing this show was when I've relocated three times, effectively. Twice with my company, went to Russia and then Azerbaijan through big corporate clients.
Yeah.
And then once to Luxembourg through my wife's, through Natasha's work. The experience coming to Luxembourg with a small relocation agent was head and shoulders above what I received through the corporate one, where pretty much they just told us what we could have Googled. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Luxembourg, it was those smaller things. We came here and she told us where to get our Varilux bags from the Gemeng and all those sorts of things. It made a real difference.
I'm not sure it's because of the size of the local company. Of course, it helps, you know, when it's a mom and pop's a company, because people take care of you in a
familiar sometime, way.
But in your case, working for a big international group, they are using big international relocation companies. And what I was saying is that it's very impersonal, because it's somebody based in an office in, I don't know, Houston in London, who never went in the field, never been a consultant, doesn't know how it is to do a home search, never went to make a declaration of arrival at the town hall in Luxembourg, who is going to be on a call with you and tell you, you need to do this and do that. And you know, and of course, the whole support is diluted. The assignee has several people to talk to. And we are really pushing that away. You know, when somebody arrives and work with us, they only have one single point of contact. A consultant will accompany them from start to end, except holidays or sickness, whatever.
So just before we go to the break, I just want to pick on something you said, like mom and pop type organization. So Matilda, you've set up a company with your friends, and Stefan, you've set it up with your wife, right? So some people might sit there and think over a glass of wine or a beer, hey, let's work together as a bunch of friends. How have you found setting up with your friends?
You need to be very complimentary. So it's not just going with your best friend. I would say that really making business with your best friend is probably the best way to lose your friends and the company. But it's really, I had so many people, and it's really those that I felt like, oh, this could work with these people. And they also approached me. So it was really going, it was really like we matched. It's really like one of them came to me and said, oh, Mathilde, have you ever thought about setting up your own relocation company? And I was like, oh, not really. And then another one also. So it's really spread like this.
You had the background of being that consultant on the ground as well. So that's what you brought to that.
Exactly. So it's really, as Stefan said, it's really that assistance of knowing the fields. And it's really that. And the personality of the person, I think that's so important.
And is it giving you more control, though, going into that environment as opposed to being a consultant to a larger organization?
Probably. If I had done only the consultancy parts, like hidden in an office without knowing the fields, it's totally not the same.
Yep.
Especially when you have people relocating, it's really their whole life that is shifting. It's not just moving a place. It's really just readjusting to a new environment. You have spouse, you have children, you have pets. And even if you're moving alone, it's a lot of work. So you need to have humans. That's why I really believe that our field is protected, because AI can do whatever they want. But you will always need a human, even if you can find the information on Google.
There is a company in the UK who started and saying that they were going to be completely disruptive, no consultant, everything on the tech platform.
Good luck.
And it didn't last long.
They just disrupted their own bank account, and that was about it.
Yeah. They suddenly they became a normal standard relocation company with tech, but they had to hire people.
Have you found working with your partner?
So
without being too personal.
No. It's we've already worked 1 year and a half a long time ago together in the same company. And what happened is that we had two of our children at university. Our last daughter was going to leave home in 2 years. So when we set up the company, we realized that we were really complementary and who you can trust more. than your spouse normally. but it's true that it's, I would say that 90% of the time people are asking me, how are you able to work with your wife?
But you seem to split the responsibilities. So I see you out and about and you're posting all sorts of interesting stuff all the time, and I don't see Sandrine posting as much. So
yeah, I'm a bit of the face of the company, so I'm doing sales, I'm in charge of finance, and Sandrine is in charge of operations and HR, and so we are complementary. And I think it's the most important, whether it's your wife, husband, a business partner, a friend you are setting up business with, what is important is that you need to be complementary. Companies are failing because the two owners want to do the same job and there's ego. And also one thing important is it should never be a 50% share of the company. You need to have someone that has the final say.
So 50% plus one share sort of thing, just like 50.001, someone that can make the decision.
And it's what we have. Yeah. Sandrine has more shares than me, I have the higher salary.
a joint bank account, so maybe she.
Joking, but it's true that it's important to really have your own part of the job that you manage, run, and of course, you know, we sit down, share ideas, we have regular meetings with our team, but.
You've got autonomy within your space, exactly, so you're not getting into the way. One quick question. And so I was looking, 25,000 arrivals a year into Luxembourg. How come there aren't more of you?
Well,
is there loads of work out there or people not using the agents?
It's kind of very hidden. It's a very hidden market, I would say.
An industry that is still unknown. Yeah. I'm so surprised that I'm still meeting people in big companies that never heard about relocation. Companies, really. So they, and sometimes they are happy to, you said that you interviewed recruiters. Companies are happy to hire a recruiter and spend a lot of money with recruiters. And when they have to use our services, they say, is it worth it?
That is the perfect spot to go to the break. So let's move to the break. And then when we come back, we'll find out, is it worth it? Studies show that up to 40% of expat assignments fail, costing companies money, talent, and reputation. That's a quote that I got from Stefan's recent post on LinkedIn. Welcome back to Office Hours. In part one, we learned how relocation agents work, and now we'll get back to some of the chewier questions. So if 40% of the expat assignments fail, are you guys doing a bad job? Like, what's going on here?
I believe it's those that don't have the assistance, actually, to go back home, no?
Well, not always. Every year we have a few people that we assist that decide not to come. Last year we had a higher number than usual.
So they
sign the contract. The company tells them that they will be assisted for the relocation by us.
And then they decide.
We start the process. We start the discussions. And mainly it's because recruiters within some of the companies in Luxembourg don't really inform the candidates about the reality of living in Luxembourg and the cost of living.
So this is, they get told the salary thing.
And they're like, wow.
And then they go on athome.lu and they go the opposite of wow.
Yeah. And so we had people saying we're not coming. We had people ghosting us and the employer. And that's the reality. I don't remember the article because it's been a long time, but I read that most relocation that fail are people moving in a country where they speak the language.
So they speak the language.
Yeah. So I heard it's like an American moving to the UK or a French moving to Canada. They speak the language, so they think that they understand
it will be easy.
That will be the same. And so they don't prepare themselves to the cultural shock because of the language.
How much of your work is around supporting the culture, supporting immigration processes versus finding a house, which, as you mentioned, Matilda, is the most visible
Everything one. Is linked. So the immigration process is paperwork, I would say, but finding a house and the cultural part of it is linked. There's really so much, us et coutume, right, in Luxembourg, like uses, like habits that people have.
Okay.
And sometimes, as a consultant, I had to educate real estate agencies to accept my clients because they were coming from this part of the world or that part of the world. So it goes both ways. And same for the clients arriving. When we meet them, we tell them immediately, okay, this is how it works. This is, be careful not to push too hard. In Luxembourg, it's not good to push too hard. Mm. People asking every day for their immigration papers. You don't do that in Luxembourg. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It will slow down the process.
I think also it's, we act really for the time we help people as big brother, father, yeah, mother, psychologist.
Totally.
Because people are completely lost. And what I think is a big mistake for a lot of companies, whether in Luxembourg or elsewhere around the globe, is to think that not helping people with cultural training is okay.
Mm-mm.
Whether it's for people arriving or for the team receiving those people. I mean, we did a few years back a group move of 30 people arriving from a country in Luxembourg. A lot of people left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they were not prepared. It was their first time outside their country. And it created tension in the company in Luxembourg. Wow. Because the team in Luxembourg was not trained to the culture of those people.
And when you say culture, is that what sort of dimensions are we talking
etiquette
about?
Etiquette. Yeah. How to behave yourself in an office, how to behave yourself in your private life, you know.
We'd have a bit of a joke in Amazon because we'd arrange a team meal at 5 p.m. and then, the Southern Europeans would think it's lunch and then the Northern Europeans would think it's dinner.
It's exactly that.
Yeah.
It's not all about the employee as well. So how do you...
And the family.
Yeah, tell me
family
about that.
Is so Where, important.
How do you spend time with the employee versus the family? And
both. Anytime I have a call with someone, if they are not single, I always say, I want your spouse on the call as well. They are part of the adventure. That's really important. Even if they are kids, it's very important that they feel included in the family life. You're not just moving, it's really a whole life. It's a new start for a lot of people. I had people coming to Luxembourg because they had broken up and they were running away, getting a new start. And then when you have people with their families coming in, it's really, really setting up in a new community, but changing their life. And if it works well, they stay for 25 years or more. And if it doesn't work well, they might be gone in not that long time. But in my experience, usually it works very well. Maybe I was very lucky or talented. I have no idea. But
I'm sure talented.
I know that some of my clients said that, for example, I made things look easy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. It's a very hard thing to do, to settle in a new country, in a new community, and going by new laws, etc. If you have the proper guidance, if you have the proper person like lending you their ear and like holding your hand, you will not make the same mistake. So everything will be so much more easy, so much more fun, because that's also important, is having fun.
Yeah.
I mean, working, you work in the office, and we are dealing with private life matters.
So I imagine housing is a big issue. I mean, housing in Luxembourg is obviously a big issue. Are there any other big issues that end up being
schooling,
really?
Yeah, it's number one.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, it's number one. And I'm always surprised that you have families that accept to come to Luxembourg.
In February.
And they just look at the school when they talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, come on, you know.
Is it quality? The school's quality seem pretty good here. Is
no,
it
it's
access?
Access.
Is it space?
The
okay.
access.
So
because everybody's talking about, you know, those international public schools. The problem is that they ask you to speak one of the local language. It's not fully in English. So you have a few that are in English, but otherwise it's private school, it's ISL, it's St. George, or it's the Lycée Français. But, you know, when you have a 14 years, 15 years old child that arrives and that doesn't speak the local language, it's going to be extremely challenging.
Yeah, and do you kind of lobby the government to get more space?
I remember that when the previous prime minister, I had a discussion with him, with one of my competitor colleague, about the topic, because he was saying, yeah, we have those new schools, they are great. I said, yeah, they are
not enough,
great, but not, it's not enough. So you know, Luxembourg is promoting, you know, the country, and they want to bring more people, but they really need to increase the number of spaces in English-speaking schools.
English-speaking schools, particularly.
Yeah, in particular, yes. And the second language is a big issue. Mm-hmm. They allow children to go to class accueil, but still it's not enough. Mm-hmm. And it creates still a disruption. They will always, it's not easy.
So that's... when you have assignments that are failing, that can be one thing. Or the fact that, you know, you get a job in Luxembourg, you will be welcomed by your colleagues, you will go to work every day. Yeah. But it's not, if nobody is helping you to do your home search or go through the paperwork, what happens is that the spouse will be alone in a temporary accommodation, not being able to cook and not knowing sometimes the language. It will have an impact on the employee, who won't be able to focus on his job.
Totally agree. On your social media feed as well, Stefan, you post a bit on entrepreneurship and other stuff that seems a bit out of the realm of relocation. Tell me a bit about why you...
Because started as an entrepreneur very late. I discover the joy, the stress of being an entrepreneur. I don't regret at all. And I have a quote from Darren Robinson, who said, losing my job was the best decision I never made. And I'm using it a lot. And I'm talking about entrepreneurship because whether it's in relocation and or in any other field, it's very similar, and I want to share my experience as an entrepreneur, the good side and the bad side, and it's also a way for people to know me, because people buy from people, and you know, when using social media, it's a kind of, you know, talking to people and reassure them, you know, that I'm an entrepreneur. It's just that I, you know, my company really exists and I know how to run a business and so on. So it's, and I love to share my knowledge as well.
Yeah, well, it's
an experience.
Yeah, well, I've really enjoyed having both of you on the show, Matilda, as well. And I hope that more companies out there go direct to some of our companies here. I just feel as though that would be good and help our discipline of relocation agents within Luxembourg. So if people wanted to do that and get into contact with you, how would they do that, Matilda?
So they can drop me an email on contact@reloque.lu.
And for Stefan?
For me, info@luxrelo.lu, our website, or you can look at me on social media. I'm quite active.
On LinkedIn. Brilliant. Thank you both for coming in, and thank you to the listeners.
Thank you. Bye.